Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the entire United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we talk about the latest local beer news with our resident expert, Mike Riedel. We talk to the good people of Yelp, Utah about the best barbecue in our neck of the woods. We'll also talk about fall movies with our resident film critic, Jimmy Martin. We are very happy to welcome our resident beer guru of the Slug Magazine gang, Mike Riedel, in the house from the UtahBeerBlogspot.com. First, thank you for coming back and welcome.
Thanks for having me back, Dan.
We're on one of those cusps of a new season, so I would assume we're going to get some beer that's more geared for a little chilly weather, even though it's a little hard to believe as we record this and it's still 95 degrees outside. We actually are heading into fall. School's going to be on or is on already, all that jazz.
We're in the transition between the summer beers and the fall beers.
Unbelievably, and why don't we dive in with this? The Oktoberfest up at Snowbird has already started as of this recording, and we'll stretch into October, thankfully.
You know, if you haven't been to Oktoberfest or haven't been lately, they've really kind of figured it out. You probably noticed, I mean, there was beer there, but it wasn't a lot of beer.
Yeah.
There was, you know, a lot of food, a lot of stuff for kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, Oktoberfest, you know, is beer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, the reason for the season, right?
Yeah. And now they've got just about every brewery in the area is represented up there.
Nice.
And you can get just about anything you want, high point, low point, and traditional Oktoberfest style beers. And there are beer tents, booths peppered throughout.
Oh, nice. They spread it around a little. Yeah, it's not one big tent anymore.
Yeah, so
we don't have a band in the corner.
Kind yeah, of thing. There's no clusterfuck over here and over here.
Right.
You've got, nice. You know, you went represented over here, and then you've got, you know, Bohemian represented over here. And then,
well, it's a beautiful environment. It's nice to actually walk around it a little bit because you're in this amazing spot.
It is spectacular. I mean, when you think about Oktoberfest,
yeah,
and you look around, you're standing around Snowbird up there on top of Big Cotton or Little Cottonwood.
Yeah.
The scenery is just amazing. And then especially when you got the trees turning.
Right.
You got the reds and the yellows coming in. Oh, man.
A good reason to go up multiple times, really. And
great beer and great view.
Do the brewers do, I don't know if you've noticed over the years, I mean, do the brewers do, you know, any kind of specialty brews for that event? Or is it more like a showcase what they got kind of thing? You know, they're year-round brews.
It used to be you couldn't get an Oktoberfest-style beer.
Period.
At Oktoberfest, which I always pissed and moaned about.
Right.
Now a couple breweries do make an Oktoberfest style beer, Bohemian in particular.
No, naturally. That would stand to reason.
And a lot of their fall styles are being showcased. You'll get a lot of pumpkin beers up there now.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Those are rolling out. And
so we can get up there to beat the heat a little bit at the beginning, and then by the actual October dates of Oktoberfest, you'll be cruising jackets and pants and whatnot up there.
Yeah.
And want to drink some of that seasonal beer.
Yeah, and that, you know, you got 8 weeks, including, that's every weekend.
Yeah.
Including Labor Day.
Right.
And
so they'll be open on Monday on Labor Day that weekend too, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's plenty
of opportunities
to plan your way, get your butt up there and enjoy some good beer, some good food, and some good music.
Yeah, and I do love the food that goes along with that kind of beer, so.
And they also got some guys who have Alpenhorns, and I don't know if you're familiar with those big ass
commercial thing. Yeah.
You go up to the top of Superior, and those guys will be blowing those horns, I think, around 3 or 3:30 nice. Every day.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Take a ride to the top and hoof down and drink some more beer and make the rounds.
It's all about the beer.
That's right. Well, why don't we delve into what some of our breweries are doing here, starting with Bohemian.
Well, we kind of touched on what they've got going on. They've got their new their Oktoberfest, which is also known as a Märzen beer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the technical term for it.
That's the style.
That's style. Oktoberfest is that's what it was primarily made for. Was for the original Oktoberfest in Munich.
All right.
If you aren't familiar with the style, this is a full-bodied, malty, rich beer. It's a little dark copper-colored.
Okay.
Lightly hopped, and it can be anywhere between 6.5 and 4% yeah. alcohol by volume.
Okay.
And it's one of the things I like about this beer is it's fairly light, but it's got a nice vanilla, caramel, maltiness that that kind of works with the fall.
It's, it's got some substance to it, but you can throw down a few.
Right. And they weren't stupid.
Yeah.
And coming up with this style for that time of year.
Right.
And it is a great style lager.
Well, that sounds great.
Bohemian's got one, and it's out right now, and it will be out for quite a while.
And is that one you can get in the liquor stores as well, like bottled up, or
nope.
just at on tap?
This
can
one,
find
this
it?
One is 4%.
Okay.
Oh, and it's on draft at Bohemian and wherever Bohemian's got a seasonal tap.
Gotcha.
And of course, Oktoberfest.
Excellent. That's a good excuse to get up there. Yeah. How about this Red Rock New Belgium collabo? I know people in Utah have been chomping at the bit for New Belgium stuff. Forever.
Which will be rolling in about a week and a half.
All right.
2 weeks.
Nice.
As of the time you're listening to this, they should be rolling in pretty quick. Now, Red Rock and New Belgium did a collaboration a couple of months ago.
Like the experimental hops
with
thing,
the Part of Blom.
Okay.
And that was the Dandelion beer.
Oh, right.
And that was a huge success. So they're going to try it again. And this one is called Nora's Ale. And this is going to be a hybrid of a Belgian ale and a cross between a German Pilsner. So it's they're getting into new territory with this. I'm not really sure what the flavor profile is going to be like on this beer. But it should be interesting because you've got, two powerhouse breweries getting together to spend the money on it. So
and they're not going to put out some shit, right? It's going to be something that's met both their approval. Right?
Yeah, it may not be your cup of tea, but, anytime somebody can bend a style.
That's right.
And tweak it and make it
nice
something
to sample
new.
Sample around something.
That's always a good thing.
Excellent. Is there anything else particularly on your radar coming along this fall that anyone else is doing or any of these guys?
Hearing rumors of another collaboration between Uinta and a brewery from Maine called Allagash, who is very huge on the East Coast, and they do some extremely nice Belgian-style beers, and there's no talk yet of what they're going to be making, but that's supposed to be happening last part of the year.
Excellent. So it might be something we either see in the winter or maybe in the spring, if it comes to fruition.
You never know, and this will probably be part of the Cahoots label
line
that they have.
Yeah. What about, is there just a particular favorite style that you have for, when the weather's turning? I mean, is there a particular, even if it's just an old established beer, I mean, what's your go-to in the autumn time?
I'm a big fan of the Martins.
Yeah.
I like alt beers. Usually the best beer for me is the one in front of me, but those are the ones I look forward to. I love Oktoberfest beers and some of the field beers. I can't drink a lot of pumpkin beers.
Yeah,
but when the time's right, they're awesome.
Nice. Yeah, I like stuff with a little funky spice or some nutmeg thing going on or whatever. Excellent. Well, so we might find you up every weekend at Snowbird, perhaps, or regular visitor.
Bumping around, screaming, "Hey, Mikey!"
Excellent. Well, as always, you can check out all of Mike's work at utahbeer.blogspot.com, and of course, you will want to read his monthly beer column in every stinking issue of Slug Magazine. Mike, thanks so much for popping in.
Thank you, Dan.
We'll fire you up before wintertime for sure.
Woohoo!
Parlor Hawk is a 5-piece folk rock band based down there in Provo, Utah, where so many great bands have been coming out lately. They actually had a lot of buzz a couple years ago when they released their debut album, Horse and Roaring. That was put out on North Platte Records and produced by Joshua James, the resident North Platte guru. They also went on tour over the next 2 years heavily with Joshua James, as well as supporting acts like The Civil Wars and Sharon Van Etten. They decided to leave North Platte Records and produce their second album themselves, raising money online and doing pre-sales. This is a song called Wherever I Come from the new Parlor Hawk album, it's self-titled, coming out in 2013. Parlor Hawk will be holding an album release party at Velour down in Provo on September 14th, playing alongside Westward the Tide and Levi Levitt. The show will be $10 and it starts at 8 p.m. For more information on the band, visit them online at parlorhawk.com. We are here with Yelp Utah's Jeffrey Stedman, visiting us once again, this time packing food to bribe us to, you know, extend the interview, I believe it is.
But That's it. Yeah.
Welcome.
I butter it up.
That's right. We are getting into certainly one of my favorite genre, if that is the right word, of culinary areas, barbecue in and around Salt Lake City. I don't know how long you've been living here, Jeffrey.
Born and raised.
Lifer.
I lived out for a while, but I've been back for over a decade.
I moved to Utah as a teenager in the 80s from barbecue country and was left wanting for years and years in this place. And it's definitely better now than it's ever been. We can start right there.
No, you make a good point in that. We are in some sort of, I don't know if it's, I'd call it a barbecue renaissance. I don't know that anybody's doing anything like crazy, creative, weird out there. But there are so many barbecue places.
I'll take
and
options.
They come in waves. Like in the last, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, I've seen 3 or 4 new places. And then before that, for 6 months, it was quiet. And then, you know, boom. Yeah, it's booming, the boom and bust.
It's a flow. And it's
goes with the price of beef.
That's right.
I don't know why.
Maybe that is
I don't know why.
And, you know, people are really into pork. Maybe people are just delving into pork in as many ways as they can and opening restaurants to get rid of it.
Yeah, you just said delving into pork.
We'll keep that in. That'll be a theme next time.
That's right.
So why don't we hear a little? What do the Yelpers love about barbecue?
Well, and this is, pardon me for plugging the company line, but this really is one of the reasons that I love Yelp, is that there's so many barbecue places, and barbecue's not by its nature the cheapest thing out there, so you want to you want to go for the good stuff. So we're going to talk about some of the good stuff, what the Yelpers like. First up on my list, Kaiser's, 962 South 3rd West, 4 out of 5 stars after 33 reviews. Kaiser's is Texas style, and Dan T., I love it. I'm just going to read what he says. Please, for the love of Anthony Bourdain, support your local barbecue. This place surpassed all expectations. List of dues. All meats. Tried everyone with the exception of chicken and sausage. Ribs, great. Pulled pork, perfect. Brisket, expletive. Not like I'm editing. He really just says the word expletive.
Aw.
Massive smoke green. Perfect juiciness. Smiling from ear to ear. I've eaten there. I mean, the ambiance is like...
The building from the outside is weird.
He's got stuff like saws tacked to the building.
It looks like a tackle shop or something out in the sticks. And that's a good selling point for a lot of barbecue places. But on Third West, when I drive by, it's just... I never... it's good to hear that what's going on inside makes it worth the stop.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's officially Granary District. We'll jump over to Sugar House, 565 East, 21st South. Firehouse Barbecue, 4 out of 5 stars after 33 reviews. Todd D. says, I can't imagine getting the large sampler. The regular one is a giant pile of meat.
That's what I'm looking for.
So we've said delving into pork and giant pile of meat. The food came out just a minute or so after ordering. Yeah, it's a cool little location. They're just doing their thing kind of quietly over there. And good.
It's like a garage where they like swing the door open and suddenly it's like, well, they must be open. Stop there.
Yeah. Great little neighborhood barbecue place. While we're talking about Sugar House, maybe we should mention the Sugar House Barbecue Company. They moved recently, and that may be interesting to folks listening. They're now at 880 East, 21st South. Their new location has 4 out of 5 stars after 12 reviews. Bud H., you can go read his review. He kind of gives it a pro and con, old place, new place. But he did mention they added fries to the menu, and now they have a covered patio. So if you were a fan before, I don't think things have changed a ton.
Let me add this. They have drive-through pickup access now. If you like to get your barbecue to go, and I am one who does once in a while.
If you like your barbecue, but you don't want to leave your car.
Right. This used to be a bank, and so it conveniently has a drive-through window.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
There you go.
And they refurbished the inside using an old barn from the Sugar House area that they took apart and then used the wood inside.
Yeah.
So pretty cool space,
very cool space.
And I'm a big fan of those guys. Good
feels
stuff.
Like a barbecue place, yeah. We'll move over to Pat's, which I think we have to mention.
Absolutely.
Pat's, of course, probably the most famous barbecue, certainly the most reviewed, 3.5 out of 5 after 156 reviews, featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and so it gets a lot of attention. Not everybody's going to agree on Pat's. Like, the real hardcore barbecue guys, everybody has their opinion. I like it. Head over for Friday. It's Burn Ends on Friday.
Oh, the Burn Ends are awesome.
They're great.
Get there early, because the line goes out the door and lasts a long time.
Yeah.
And then the Burn Ends are gone.
Yeah, Mike O says the ribs are St. Louis competition style, which means, to the best of his understanding, they're cooked for 6 hours with a dry rub and have no intention of falling off the bones.
The ribs are definitely, I've interviewed Pat in the past in various jobs, and they started the business based on his success as a rib man going into competition. So they are good at other things. I really like some of their side dishes and stuff too, but get the ribs. And you can buy just one rib. If you want one, you can try just one.
That's it. That's it. We'll mention a couple other ones. Brand new. I think we mentioned this on the podcast earlier, so I won't go into too much detail. R&R Barbecue, 307 West, 600 South. Certainly, I think, probably the hottest name in barbecue right now.
Buzz.
The two brothers, the Livingston brothers, were competition barbecuers, and so they opened up their shop after years of people begging them. 4.5 out of 5 stars, 56 reviews, and only a few months open, so they got a lot of traction. Dino G, probably the biggest fan I've met of them, and he says, the brisket, the chicken, the pulled pork were all the bomb. The smoked wings, I said smoked wings are fantastic. Here's the deal with R&R, get there early. They're dealing with limited capacity. They're trying to up their capacity, but they run out of stuff
like
every night.
Like how much meat they can go through?
Yeah, because like it's not like you can throw any more on the smoker and be like, hold on a few minutes.
The only time I've been there so far, I went in at lunchtime and before noon, and there was like a group of like 15 Salt Lake cops all having lunch together. Yeah, like they were just moving the stuff out, so... Yeah. Good advice.
One more for our friends down south in Utah County. Utah County, of course, a holier place than Salt Lake, so they probably know exactly what's going on. Sean's Smokehouse, 4 out of 5 stars after further reviews. That's 222 East State Road 73 in beautiful downtown Saratoga Springs. Brad M. says, always a good sign for a restaurant when the owner pokes his head out to visit with the people and make sure everyone's enjoying themselves. Sean's a stand-up guy.
All right.
And then I just want to say some names. We're not going to go into too much detail. Smoke and Bones up in Bountiful.
Not been. Okay. Nope.
Holy Smoke up in Layton gets a lot of love. Pig Out, I've never been. It only has a few reviews. It's brand new, about 17th in Maine.
Just ran into it. It's actually attached to Manny's 2, the bar on the corner of 17th. And the menu looked pretty good. They actually have like a few items that are like Hawaiian-themed barbecue.
Oh,
so they have some like
notice.
Traditional Southern stuff, but then like sort of a Hawaiian-themed flavor of pork and things like that. So, might be worth a stop.
All right, delve into pork. 5-star barbecue, again, down in Utah County in Orem. And then here's one that I thought was interesting. Desert Magnolia in Ogden makes a meatloaf that's like a linguica-stuffed meatloaf. I think it has bacon on it, and then it's smoked.
Whoa.
There's a photo on Yelp. Go check it out.
Ogden,
it looks crazy. Next time you're up in O-Town, give it a shot. So
that's good to hear.
We have barely scratched the surface. There are so many barbecue places. But again, hopefully you can find the good, weed out the good from the bad, because there are some places out there.
One trick with barbecue that I have found in my vast experimentation of barbecue is like...
I only experimented with barbecue in college.
It's a lot like pizza, right? The worst pizza is... pretty not that bad, usually,
it's meat plus fire, at the caveman level, something's gonna go right.
There's bound to be one really good thing most barbecue places, like the brisket might suck, and they might have the best wings in town or something, you just don't know. They might have, like, some killer mac and cheese side dish or something.
That's it.
So, awesome. Well, as always, you can check out yelp.com/Salt Lake City.
Yes.
Among other places. At Yelp Utah on Twitter.
Yes.
You are an active participant.
Yes. Facebook.com/YelpSLC.
Awesome.
Download the mobile app. We've had a lot of updates in the last couple of months and some really, really cool stuff people have been asking for a long time. So definitely check that out as well.
Beautiful. And the next time we talk, there'll be like 10 more barbecue joints and a number of other things. As always, Jeffrey Stedman, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Now I'm hungry. This is your weekly daily calendar starting on September 3rd. And as always, I highly recommend going to slugmag.com, checking out all the great listings on there for events in and around Salt Lake City, Utah. On Tuesday, September 3rd, you'll want to consider a cruise down Provo Way, where Velour is hosting On and On and Polytype, a local buzz band, a national buzz band, playing together. Should be a great show on a Tuesday. That's also the same night that the Doc Utah Festival starts down at Dixie State College in southern Utah. On Wednesday, September 4th, over at the State Room, singer-songwriter Gregory Allen Isakov, another fellow with a lot of buzz around him right now, he's playing. That should be a great show. Good for fans of, the Elliott Smiths of the world. On Thursday, September 5th, it is what is sure to be one of the larger Twilight Concert Series shows, when MGMT, or management, depending on who you believe, is headlining, along with Foxygen down at Pioneer Park. Should be a great show. I, myself, will be over at the Stateroom where Jason Isbell, former drive-by trucker, another singer-songwriter, doing a little roots rock, great songwriter in my book. He's headlining at the Stateroom that night. Friday, September 6th, Ryan Innes headlines the Provo Rooftop Concert Series down in Provo, a really cool free event. He's joined by NES and Amy Whitcomb at that show. Salt Lake Comic Con gets started that day as well. That's at the Salt Palace. That event was moved to downtown. Should be pretty fun to see all the people in their ridiculous costumes cruising around downtown Salt Lake City. Same night, Friday, September 6th, Minx at the Woodshed. I heartily recommend checking those guys out. Saturday, September 7th, Reckless Kelly, another rootsy crew, a little more twang than a lot of people might think. Really good band, very strong live. They're headlining at the Deep Hall, while up at Park City Live, Psychedelic Furs bringing that 80s sound back. I went and saw them last time they were in town. Surprisingly strong, actually. A pretty good live show still. Seems like a pretty damn big room for that band, but we shall see. That's also the day of Slug's Summer of Death, Rough Side of the Tracks 4. That's taking place at the 9th and 9th Skate Park. You'll definitely want to check that out. See some awesome skating action. And that same day, Avenue Street Fair is going down. First Avenue between P Street and U Street. Always a fun event. Hard to believe it's already here. And then Sunday, September 8th, the long delayed, the once canceled, twice rescheduled. It's finally here. Animal Collective. I know there'll be a lot of people at that show. As always, check out slugmag.com over and over again during your day for new listings. You can put your own stuff on there for free. For a mere $5 a month or $50 a year, add some quality links to your own content. Coral Bones is an alternative pop project based out of Provo, and it's basically a one-man gang. It's led by singer-songwriter Chris Benyon, who you might know as a member of Red and the Rovers. He started doing solo projects on the side of that band in 2009 and officially kick-started Coral Bones in 2011. He released his debut under that name, Sod's Opera, in December 2012, and on August 17th of this summer, he released his sophomore album under the Coral Bones name. That's an album called Euphemism. Love it. This is a song called Rising Sand from Coral Bones. download the album and his other works, check out redditdusk.bandcamp.com. And to find out more about Coral Bones specifically, visit him online at facebook.com/Coral Bones. We have Slug's resident movie expert in the house, Jimmy Martin, to tell us all about the goodies coming up this fall. We're going to talk about the stuff released, starting, I guess, Labor Day when this podcast posts.
Why not?
Into the beyond. Welcome and thank you for coming, as always.
Thanks for having me.
This is sort of, you know, we've survived the mega blockbusters and the giant flails of summer, and now we go into, I don't know if fall has a theme overall year to year, other than it's not holiday season yet and it's post-blockbusters of summer.
It's those films where they always kind of, they're like, some of them are just wannabe blockbusters in the summer, and some of them are like, we really want to be Oscar bait, and you're like, I don't know. Like, you know, it kind of falls in between, and some are what they want to be, and some are like, no.
Yeah, not even close.
No, this is why you're in the fall.
That's why you did not go up against,
Yeah, anything Marvel.
Something big. right.
But yeah, no, I think we kind of closed out the summer with like Kick-Ass 2 and The World's End.
Right.
To me, because now we're past it, The World's End was the funniest movie of the summer.
Yeah,
it's
nice.
Hilarious. So, but yeah, now we're hitting it into, Labor Day.
Yeah.
All right, let's kick it off. Riddick. That's what we're going to kick it off with, the first one. Vin Diesel. You know, I liked Pitch Black a lot. I thought Pitch Black was one of those like kind of independent films that came out of nowhere, and you're like, wow, this is really creative and original. And then they came out with Chronicles of Riddick. And you're like, this is what I despise about everything.
This is why I never want to see Vin Diesel again.
Exactly. So I've got this, like, so when Riddick comes out, I went to Comic-Con and they talked about it a little bit. And I think you could kind of hear they were, like, more talking about Pitch Black. Like, that's
they're
the
distancing themselves sequel. Yeah.
They're like, you know, Pitch Black was, like, so, you know, and then you're like, okay, so is that what you're going for this time? I hope they are. Because the footage they showed, and this is what I love, if you're going to use an R rating for an action film, use the R rating. You know, apparently there's a lot of violence in it. Katie Sackhoff's in it from Battlestar Galactica, and apparently she gets Dopless, and I'll take that for whatever it's worth. So
it's worth something.
Well, that's a lot of geeks' fantasies, Katie Sackhoff. So
this will be the true test if Vin Diesel is a name again, because, you know, the Fast and the Furious made huge money, but he's part of an ensemble.
Well, part of an ensemble, and then, but the other big news with Vin is, I just have to get out there because I'm so excited for it, is that he's going to be Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy next August, a year from now. So I'm excited for that one.
So he's got work.
He's going to do okay. He knows where his breakfast's coming.
That's right.
Let's see. Next week, September 13th, Insidious Chapter 2. I've never seen Insidious, but I hear it's...
I haven't either, but I've read good things about it.
I've read good things.
Like,
so like, everybody's all excited for Chapter 2 to come. I'm like, I guess I'll have to watch it or I'm going to be really fucking confused.
I've already seen a commercial for it. I know that. And it's Patrick Wilson, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like he's been in a few of these kind of sort of horror movies.
But the other one was The Conjuring.
Right.
And if I remember right, it's the same director. So like, I think they're just buddies. Like, let's just make the same shit over and over. So
cast him.
Yeah, because I kind of like The Conjuring. Like, some people thought it was dumb. You have to sometimes go into a horror film just and turn your brain off a little bit. You know what I mean? And I'll admit it. I was sitting there jumping in my seat, getting a little bit scared. Yeah. So
had some of the best previews I'd ever seen. That's for sure. Like, ooh, I want to see that.
Well, see, that's the thing too, and we'll talk about it a little bit through this segment, is that a lot of these films and Conjuring, I haven't seen anything when I walked into the theater like that. Yeah. So when people are like, you know, when the little girl like in the dark claps her hands next to her, I'm like, I didn't know that was coming. So
totally. Like, oh shit!
I'm kind of like, as a film critic, maybe getting a little bit more excited about not seeing shit before I walk into the theater. And what ruined it recently was Were the Millers, like that comedy with Jennifer Aniston and whatnot. Yeah, it was funny, but I saw about 60% of that movie in the trailers, and I was like, God, this would have been so much better.
Right.
So haven't seen Insidious. Hope it's good. One that I really got excited about and talking about not seeing anything, I just saw something for it and I got excited because I was watching Breaking Bad the other day. Oh my God, the show's amazing.
Yeah.
And the commercials was a preview for The Family. And have you heard it? It's with Robert De Niro, Tommy Lee Jones, Michelle Pfeiffer. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm not sure. You know, there's a lot of action shooting up. Then I saw who it was directed by, and that's where I got excited. It's directed by Luc Besson, who directed The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies of all time, which is Leon the Professional.
Yeah, awesome.
So, La Femme Nikita.
High potential. Yeah.
That's where I'm like, oh my God. Like, and he hasn't directed all. Like, he's been directing a lot of small independent films. I think one was at Sundance a few years ago. And you're like, okay, but like he hasn't really done like a shoot 'em up in a while.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, it might be good. So
it'd be nice to see De Niro back in a sort of some little action-y thing, you know, like the Ronin was good and stuff like that.
He can pull it off. He just needs someone to drag his ass.
Not to mail it in some shitty comedy or something.
Oh, God.
You know?
Like the Big Wedding.
Right.
God.
Right.
So moving on, September 20th, a movie called Prisoners with Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, Viola Davis, and Melissa Leo. And from what I read about this, it's Hugh Jackman who kidnaps the guy who he thinks kidnapped his child. So it's kind of like that movie Ransom with Mel Gibson.
Right, right.
Except like Mel Gibson went out there and kicked the shit out of people.
Right.
So it could be good. I don't know about that one. What I can tell you from the preview I saw just last night when we had a screening, there's a movie coming out called Battle of the Year. It's essentially a breakdance movie with Chris Brown.
Oh,
I will not be seeing
that
film.
You gotta be shitting me.
Because fuck Chris Brown and everything he stands for.
How the hell?
Sorry.
They've already done Step It Up. I don't want to see Chris Brown in anything either.
Gah.
That's embarrassing. For the filmmakers.
That's the only time I'm giving that film. Fuck it. September 27th, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. I'm very excited about. And it's funny because we just had midway through the year film critics meeting just the other day. And what we've noticed for this year, a lot of, like, the animated films that have come out this year, not that good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're still waiting, like, because we were talking about like, what's been good so far in case before we get into award season that we're going to, you know, forget about. And animated category came up. And, like, I loved Monsters University.
I did, too.
But I don't know if I'd call it, like, a best picture kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
I'm like, it was like a nice sequel to one, and I already loved the first one, right?
The one thing it proved is, like, Pixar can handle a prequel.
Yeah,
like, I'll give you that. Like, you know, because prequels are usually awful. And like, I'm like, wow, they made a prequel interesting.
And, like, Despicable Me 2 made bank, but it wasn't roundly hailed by the critics by any means.
And I liked Despicable Me 2. You know, but when I say I liked it or it's fine, like, that's not, like, giving an award, you know?
Right.
And so Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, like, I loved the first one. I thought it was very creative. And I think this one, if you've seen any trailer for it, it looks that same amount of creativity that's going to be in there. But the one thing I wonder what's going to come up this year, and I wonder if it is because Hayao Miyazaki just came out with a film in Japan called, I think, The Wind Rises, about a guy who developed planes that, the guy who developed World War II planes to fight Americans, you know? So, like, is that going to play over well here?
Very
something like that's going to take it, because I don't know if Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 is strong enough for a best picture kind of thing, or best animated.
Even best animated.
Yeah. So we'll see, but I'm excited for it, you know. Rush. This is Chris Hemsworth. It's a biopic about the Formula One driver Niki Lauda. I was pronouncing that properly.
I would hazard a guess. I'm just bummed it's not about Geddy Lee.
Yeah, right. But it's directed by Ron Howard. He's a Formula One race car driver that had a horrible crash.
Yeah.
I think he got burned.
I've seen some previews from this. For sure.
And but within 2 weeks he got back in the car to race his rival, which sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been a while since Ron Howard's had
Big action movie?
Well, he's been doing those Da Vinci Code movies, which weren't really that good,
right.
Especially the second one, which I. Angels and Demons, that was called.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. I just remember Tom Hanks had a haircut. That's all I remember. So, but hopefully, you know, Rush is good. Chris Hemsworth can be a good actor when directed well. We'll see. Moving on. Don Juan. I think it had a longer name at Sundance.
It was. It was Don Juan's Addiction. That's what it was.
I saw Don Juan's Addiction.
I saw this one, yeah.
Which is the perfect title because he's a sex addict.
That's right.
And so it's him and Scarlett Johansson. I've heard it's actually pretty charming.
Julianne Moore is great in this movie. Like, great character. She's the one that keeps it from being totally campy.
Okay.
And the surprise performance for everyone out there, Tony Danza kicks ass in
this
movie.
Awesome.
I can vouch for that.
That's cool.
And it is a pretty, I think some of the things I've seen about it are assured direction. Because what's his name? Joseph Gordon-Levitt wrote, directed,
it's like his baby,
all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's entertaining.
Yeah, and then, but I did hear that it actually got a cut from the Sundance release because apparently there was a lot of shit in that.
There was a lot of video porn on his computer in that movie.
They're you're not getting an R rating with that one, buddy.
Right.
No matter how adorable you are, Joseph, it's not going to happen. So yeah, that comes out October 4th is a film that I'm very much looking forward to. It's Gravity with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. It's directed by Alfonso. Now I always mess it up. Is it Cuarón?
Oh, yeah, I don't
Cuarón?
Know.
Cuarón? I don't know.
Yeah.
I always mess it up, and I feel like a jerk, because he directed Children of Men, and, you know, and I'm trying to think of the other ones that he did, but he's really good. But he was at Comic-Con, and here's the two things about that gets me very excited about this. George Clooney and Sandra Bullock are the only actors in this film.
No?
Nobody else.
Whoa.
And then, and the story, if you haven't seen the teaser for it, is they're just astronauts in space, and an accident happens, and they get detached from their vessel. And float off
They're
into
floating.
Space, which is the most fucking terrifying thing I think I could ever imagine.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Ooh.
And so the technology that they developed for this film was fantastic because he does these really long shots of them just going. It doesn't cut for a while. And people are going to throw up in the theater. I want to see it in IMAX. And then the other one was really cool. He's like, in the commercials, you see explosions and you hear them all that. He goes, in the movie, I adhere to the rule that there's no sound in space. So when it crashes into the shuttle, it just You know, I can't. But you're seeing this destruction. Yeah. Like, you know, you can only imagine what it would sound like.
It's pretty daring. I can't wait to see if people are like buying in or not, because that sounds pretty sweet.
I think there's gonna be two people walking in this movie: either people who walk out just jaw on the floor loving it, or people are like, "What was that?" You know. So I think I'll be the former, because that guy knows what he's doing directing wise. Totally. Same day, Runner, which is a movie with Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake. Come on. Can't deny those two handsome men. It's about
Where's Gyllenhaal that weekend?
it's a film about a guy, I'm assuming Justin Timberlake, because he seems like the gullible kid who gets taken for all his money on an online poker game, and he goes to get the guy who stole his money, which I would assume has been Affleck, because he seems more mature. Yeah. If it's reversed, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
October 11th, I'm actually excited about this film, Captain Phillips, which is the true story of the 2009 hijacking by Somali pirates, directed by Paul Greengrass and starring Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
From the trailer, it looks fantastic. You know, it's all about the Somali pirates just raid him. Yeah. And I saw a longer trailer the other day, and it looked good. I'm excited for it.
It's got potential. I like Paul Greengrass' stuff, generally speaking, too. Yeah. That should be good.
Didn't he do United 93?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he knows how to make it.
And he made that one with Matt Damon, like the Green Zone. It was about the Green Zone.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
And he did all the Bourne movies, too, I believe.
At least a couple of them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, the guy knows action. Speaking of action, this is a perfect weekend for this. Machete Kills.
Oh. Finally.
Yep. Danny Trejo is coming back with Jessica Alba. And with the villain, perfect casting, Mel Gibson, because nobody likes him. So he's a perfect villain.
That makes me, it pains me a little, because I really don't want to pay money for anything with Mel Gibson anymore.
But if they just torture him on screen, then it's fine.
Yeah, I guess that's what hopefully that's what they're playing up.
Yeah. So let's see. You got that coming. The Fifth Estate, which I haven't heard much about, but all I know is that it's a story about WikiLeaks, and it's Benedict Cumberbatch playing Julian Assange. So.
That sounds like perfect typecasting to me.
Yeah, right? So that could be cool. Don't know much about it. Moving on, October 18th, the remake of Carrie.
Oh, yeah.
With Chloe Moretz. Everybody knows her as Hit Girl from the Kick-Ass films. And Julianne Moore. I'll say this. She's becoming a very good actress.
Yeah.
You know, and about Kick-Ass 2, like, she's not a novelty anymore. She's not the little girl calling everybody cunts from across the room.
Right.
She's
right.
Actually showing some emotion, so...
Potential.
It could be
fucking with a classic, but it's also such a dated classic
that
you wouldn't really necessarily pop in Carrie and watch it right now.
Well, either us or people, you know, the generation behind us. Yeah. They're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah,
you know,
right. Nice
pig's blood.
In the,
what?
Yeah, right.
So who knows? Let's see. Escape Plan. Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger are going to bust out of jail together. Why not?
Sure.
I'll be there.
Wait, I've seen Tango and Cash. What the fuck?
Right? But, 12 Years a Slave, which sounds pretty good. It's Brad Pitt, Michael Fassbender, again, Benedict Cumberbatch. I wrote down the phonetical spelling of how to say this. Chiwetel Ejiofor. I don't know who this guy is, but apparently he's playing Solomon Northup of the true story based on the guy's life, who was a free man and captured and was enslaved for 12 years.
Oh, wow.
So it could be good.
Yeah.
Robert Redford's, I call it Robert Redford minus the tiger of Life of Pi. It's called All Is Lost. That trailer looks really good,
Robert
too.
Robert Redford on a raft?
It's on. It's him on a boat.
Whoa.
And stuck in the middle of the ocean.
All right.
October 25th, The Counselor, Ridley Scott's next movie with, again, Brad Pitt, Michael Fassbender, and about drug trafficking. One I'm excited for, and this is the kind of humor that I have, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. I think looks hilarious. And yeah. I think they're trying to pull off kind of like the Borat things, you know, just have a stupid plot and then just
one character.
But fuck with real people, while you're doing it. Because I thought they were making like a real story with his old man character from the Jackass movies. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute, they're just fucking with real people and having like a Borat or a Bruno
a nice
plot.
Nice way to spin off another Jackass without it just being another clip show.
Exactly. So I'm actually really looking forward to it, because the Jackass films, in my opinion, are some of the best theatrical experiences you can have.
Hilarious.
Because you're like high-five the guy next to you going, that's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you fucking kidding me with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving into November, November 1st, there's a lot of controversy about this one. Ender's Game is coming out. Mm-hmm. Asa Butterfield, Abigail Breslin, Harrison Ford, and Ben Kingsley. It's
Orson Scott Card,
yeah. Novel.
Renowned anti-gay author.
He's an asshole. Everybody knows he's an asshole. I feel weird about asking people to boycott the film, because they actually had it, again, Comic-Con talked about it, you know, the whole panel was there, and the first question was asked, basically, you have an asshole on your, you know, on your crew. And they said, you know, it sucks that that's the case. They didn't deny it, you know, but they're like, it's sad that like 99.9% of this cast and crew have nothing to do with that guy and like to be punishing everybody else. So it's
totally indicative of the age we live in. Yeah, like, none of us knew who the hell George Lucas supported politically or didn't back during Star Wars. It's just now everyone knows everything.
Yeah, right? I mean, well, you know, and I'm sure there's people that we support that we just don't know what they really believe. Right. But this guy's such an asshole, he steps up on the podium. I understand. So I'd say if you're interested in the film, you know, go for it. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see. I have no interest in Last Vegas. It's basically The Hangover with Robert Downey. Robert
De Niro. I saw a preview for this. It looks like a pile of shit.
It's Robert De Niro, Morgan Freeman, Kevin Kline, and Michael Douglas hanging out with LMFAO in Vegas. Fuck off. It looks terrible. November 8th, Thor The Dark World looks really good. And I'm sure everybody's seen the preview, so we don't have to talk about it too much. I'm making this bet right now. Loki dies in Thor The Dark World. I will put that money down and make a bet. We'll check the
tape on that in December.
Do it. I hope he dies. November 15th, The Wolf of Wall Street, which is the Martin Scorsese's next picture, with, again, of course, Leonardo DiCaprio. They are fucking tied at the hip.
It's bizarre.
But it's about the true story of Jordan Belfort. He was a stockbroker who just, he made millions and then became a criminal.
Right.
Like they all do. Next week is The Hunger Games, Catching Fire. Sure, why not?
I'll watch it.
Yeah,
cool. I like the first one.
Vince Vaughn, I hope to God he doesn't ruin this film, because it was a great foreign film called Starbuck, where he is a sperm donor and has 533 kids, and they all want to meet him. So the foreign film was really good, and it's called Starbuck. This one's the American version. Hopefully it's good. Last weekend, Disney's coming out with Frozen. Don't know much about it. I haven't even seen the previews for it. It's kind of when I'm going to probably just go in fresh. Why not?
Right.
Spike Lee is directing Oldboy.
Oh, and
if you haven't seen the Korean film Oldboy, watch it, and it's really fucked up.
Yeah.
But it's got a great scene with a
streaming
hammer.
On Netflix right now. I can vouch for that.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It's in my queue as we speak.
There's no fucking way they're doing that same story. They're going to have to change it a little bit, because it's so bizarre at the end of it. And you know what? I'll just end with that one, because that's probably the coolest one.
That'll be hot stuff. That could be cool. And then the next time we pick this up, we'll be into the crazy-ass holiday season and
Oscars.
Mega stuff. Oscar bait. Hey, as always, read Jimmy's reviews in Slug Magazine and fire up the Geek Show podcast, co-hosted with Mr. Jeff Weiss.
Woo.
Anything else you want to pimp, plug, etc.?
God, there's so much. No, those are the two ones. We'll stick with those.
Excellent. Thanks. We'll fire you back up in December.
Cool.
Thank you for listening to Soundwaves from the Underground, and for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit us online at slugmag.com. Yelp's Jeffrey Stedman will be back in the studio in a few weeks to talk about all the great places to eat in the River District, and we'd love to hear any advice you have on that subject matter. You can either send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That line's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Give us a good tip, we just might play it on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. The main logo and art design by T. Doan, and the technical design by Kate Colgan. Be sure to fire us up again next week. We'll be talking about all the best college radio in Utah. Thank you for listening.